Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Senator Bob Casey joins us this morning. Senator, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too. What's your take on the latest in the situation, looking at the state of Pennsylvania? We know Philadelphia, obviously, a big concern, but we've been talking a lot in Northeast PA about Luzerne County and specifically Hazleton. What do you know about the situation there?
Well, I'm not sure I have enough of the epidemiology behind it, but obviously the eastern side of our state has been hit a lot harder. We just hit yesterday, I think it was, if not last night, the reality that all 67 counties now have at least one case. So it started in the east, and it's still growing a lot in the east, as you know, from our region, but it's everywhere. And I don't know if part of the reason we had growth in the east, like Monroe County and the border counties, is because New York and New Jersey was so high. That's probably part of it. But we've got a long way to go, no question about it.
Well, in Northeast Pennsylvania, I guess according to state numbers, we're number two, right behind Philadelphia and surrounding counties in terms of prevalence of cases. So I think probably the border does play a pretty big role there. We saw some of this go by yesterday. The proposed Heroes Fund that is being talked about now in Washington. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I just believe that these frontline workers, and we still have to do some drafting in terms of the definition of a frontline worker, but obviously folks who are doing such heroic work in hospitals, nursing homes, home health settings, grocery store clerks, sanitation workers, people who are out every day, law enforcement, police, fire, EMT, all these heroes are soldiers on a battlefield, and we've got to treat them like soldiers on a battlefield who are working and putting themselves at risk in this war, and they should have premium pay because of that. So we're proposing an up to $25,000 premium, pandemic premium pay increase for these essential frontline workers, as well as a $15,000 recruitment incentive for others to get into this work, because we're going to need a lot more of these workers in the near term and the long term. And I think that's the least that we can do to treat these workers like soldiers coming off a battlefield. And the concept for me has been, and there's a couple of us who kind of came up with an idea at the same time, but in the Senate, my idea was to use the GI Bill as kind of a model for after World War II.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are going to be dealing, obviously there's the stress of the situation, but afterwards, I think that they're going to, some of them be obviously affected by what it is that they are dealing with right now.
I can't even begin to imagine. I have never done anything that difficult. So I can only imagine how difficult it is. The stress, the anxiety, the trauma, just going to work every day. And then, of course, a higher, I think in Pennsylvania, 5% of the cases total are these frontline healthcare workers. So they have levels of trauma that I can't even begin to imagine. And, of course, when they go to work every day, it's not as if, you know, there's a magic wand to take care of what's happening at home. They have childcare needs and stress on their family, and it is remarkable what these people do every day. They are just I'm in awe of what they do.
Yeah, and also the fact that not only are they dealing with the physical care, but they have to help them emotionally. We're talking about the patients. Many of them, most of them, cannot even have a loved one by their side. So we see these stories about how they're using, whatever technology they can to try to connect and give them some kind of, you know, compassion and, emotional stability at a time when they can't have any loved ones with them.
Now, it is so sad, and we're hearing that in the hospital context as well as the nursing home context. Senior citizens who are passing away without anyone around them because they're not allowed to be near them. It's as bad as it gets.
Senator, Heroes Fund, the proposal that you were talking about here a minute ago, and that's $25,000, if I understand correctly, for anyone who's earning under $200,000 a year. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and we want to. We obviously that there's going to be a lot of people in that category. This isn't millions of people. It's potentially tens of millions. And we want companies, especially the big companies in America, to help us with this. Frankly, if you're a massive corporation, you shouldn't need the government money. You should be able to do this for your employees yourself. But regardless, we're gonna make sure it's fully funded from federal government dollars, because states can't do this, nor can local or county governments. They got to balance their budget. So the federal government's got to take this on. This is a national crisis, and the federal government should pay for it. But really, the way we do it, the companies would have to help us implement it or institute it, because we want to add it to their pay. So it's $13 per hour per worker from the start of the public health emergency until the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way we do it. We just add to their hourly pay, and that means every hour. That means every hour they work.
Right. Do you think this would be easier to facilitate or easier to pay for than, I mean, there's another proposal being floated about, instead of an addition to your paycheck, there was another proposal about maybe X amount of months of tax-free income. I mean, if you're at work, that income would no longer be taxable. Wow. How is the Heroes Fund superior to that?
Well, I'm not sure I can compare the two, but look, I'm open to any idea. I don't care what the mechanisms are. I want to do what works. And also, we've got to do what will pass. This has to pass both houses.
Mm-hmm.
And that may sound easy, but I think passing legislation going forward, except for limited instances, is going to be really hard. Just because we got this $2 trillion bill done doesn't mean things are going to go smoothly. So I'm open to any new idea. If that's a better way to do it, I'll support that. This is now, as you can tell, in a concept stage. We need to draft a bill.
In just a few minutes, I guess 15 minutes or so, we're going to see the latest unemployment numbers, and we all know they're not going to be good. So obviously, that's, you know, the stimulus package is, I guess, not going to be enough. So tell us about some of the talks about the things that you guys think need to be done in addition to what you're talking about with healthcare workers.
Well, that's an interesting question, because Leader McConnell, on his own, without consulting our side, just announced that we should vote by consent, meaning you don't have to travel to Washington to vote. Everyone should vote by consent to increase the small business program, the new paycheck protection program, by $250 billion on top of the $350 that's there now. Now, we don't disagree with the fact that that program probably needs a bump, even though there's still some issues with how it's being implemented, but A lot of small businesses are being helped, and we should help them more. But we're not just going to pass one thing and move on. We want to make sure that there's more SNAP dollars for people that need food assistance. We want to make sure that there's more personal protective gear. So if he wants us to agree to a short interim package before we get to yet another bill, and I think we will get to a fourth bill or a second CARES bill, he should work with us, and that will play out today on the floor of the United States Senate, just with a few senators debating this proposal. But we're going to need more for the small business program. We're going to need more for the potentially for the checks going to individual taxpayers. We're going to need a lot more money just for the healthcare, public health part of this, which is do we have enough money in the pipeline for personal protective equipment? We have a lot there now. Many billions. It's how they're spending it is the question. But so I think we're going to have to add to a lot of these programs. We're not done yet with legislating.
All right, April 30th. April 30th is the date that we're looking at here about where there'll be a reassessment of the plan so far, and you know whether or not the status quo remains, the social distancing and the stay at home, and non-essential businesses closed. If it's decided as we get closer to April 30th that we need another month of this, how much longer can this go on? Can the economy sustain what we're doing right now?
Yeah, that it's a really difficult question, and I think we still have to just be guided by the public health experts. And I know that Governor Wolf and Dr. Levine, the health secretary, are constantly looking at public health information and being guided by that expertise. That's all we can do. I don't think we can say, well, by X number. I just think it'd be, at this stage, arbitrary to say by this date we can transition. Mm-hmm. It just has to be guided by the cases. And the problem we're having right now, several problems, obviously, at a national level, is we don't have anywhere near enough tests, and you know that from our region. We need millions of tests probably every day in America, not thousands. I mean, the idea that because we've tested 2 million or whatever the number is now, we're tens and tens of millions behind on testing. So we have to begin to increase testing a lot. That will give us a sense of who has the virus, who doesn't, what's the scope of the problem, because all these numbers we see every day could be badly underestimated because we don't have enough tests. So I don't think April 30th is going to be the deadline. It's just my guess. I'm not an expert, but I just think we still got a ways to go. And the testing will allow us to open up again. That's the irony here. People keep talking about, well, we need to do this on opening up. The public health determinations will drive when you open up. The more you social distance, the more you test, the more you follow the practices about washing hands and wearing masks and all that, the faster we'll open up.
Yeah. Quickly, we only have like a minute left, but your thoughts on the fact that Bernie Sanders has dropped out of the race for Democrat presidential candidacy. So what are your thoughts on that with Joe Biden being what looks like most likely the candidate?
Yeah, well, I was a Joe Biden supporter from day one, so I'm obviously happy that Senator Sanders won't be staying in the race in a full-fledged manner. And that's good news. It's good news for our party and for the country. I think Bernie did not only the right thing, but the difficult thing. And I really commend him for that. We just happened to have a call with all the Democrats who are the leaders on committees yesterday. I'm the top Democrat on aging, so I get to be on that phone call. But Bernie was on the call, and we were commending him and thanking him for helping unify our party. So. Still a long way to go, and this will be the most unusual election we've ever had. But I think Joe Biden can win.
U.S. Senator Bob Casey, thanks so much for being with us and keeping us up to date. We'll talk to you again hopefully soon.
Thanks, Senator.
Thanks, Nancy. Thanks, Webster.